And welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Janice Barcelo. This is the second segment. Thank you for joining us here in the members section. We are going to continue now to talk more about the IVF, the dark side of IVF, this industry, and of course, in what direction this is going to take. And there were a couple of points I was thinking about here during the break, Janice. One has to do with the race mixing propaganda that you brought out before. And there's a number of factors here that is creating an interesting situation with what you've said, with what I've heard before and whatnot. The BBC reported a couple of years ago now that there was basically that the blonde is going to go extinct. The article speculated in about 200 years, but it actually might be sooner if we're seeing the continuation of the migration levels that we're doing into specifically the Nordic countries. I know there's a lot of blondes in Russia too. But specifically Finland, the article said, because this is an area where there's the largest per capita blondes, I believe. But if the race mixing propaganda is taken into full effect, if this is something that is successful, then this is something that might occur, you know, sooner. And I think that there is something to speak about, you know, a spontaneous, you know, interracial marriage and love and everything else. And I do believe that what we're talking about here, though, is the concerted effort, referencing the quotes that you just read and many others that are out there, from President Sarkozy to Barbara Spector to, you know, the NATO general, you know, the what's his name, Wesley Clark, and many, many others, Peter Sutherland in Ireland. And there's endless barrage of these elitists talking about these this issue of ethnically cleansing the Europeans, pretty much. But this is something then that is going to potentially be supplanted by a takeover, as you've said so far, of the blonde and the blue-eyed, with a potential basis in Israel. And I mean, that scenario is like, is there, everyone is talking about minorities, they're talking about preservation and preserving, you know, native people, indigenous people, and everything else. Why do you think it is that in this regard, nothing is being said about it? The fact that already blondes is a minority, and specifically Nordic people, you know? But is this not worth preserving? Is this not something which is a crime in itself, like all the other, you know, declarations against genocide, as we've seen in the UN conventions and everything else? I mean, this is right along there, but nothing is being said about it.
Well, you have to look at even the focus on preserving, you know, Hispanic lines or something like that. All of that attention is to distract from their agenda, which is to destroy the white race, and particularly blonde-haired, blue eyes. You know, I've read a series of books called the Ringing Cedars books. The woman named Anastasia in these books, who lives in Russia, is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, what I call a pristine human. So, and she refers to herself as a pristine human. This is a woman who lives in the Siberian forest. She does not live in a house. She's completely pristine, the way the Creator intended for humans to live, without any interference that's come from the technological world. So she has all of her capacities intact. Okay, she can bilocate. She's telepathic. She knows the whole history of our species. She can speak every language. She doesn't have to speak at all. I mean, she can project images into space so that who's ever communicating with her will see what she's thinking, instead of her needing to use words. So there's a level of understanding of what we really are coming through those books, which is, honestly, Heinrich, this is what they're after. This is a spiritual war. Okay, and it's what they've been after the whole time, is to mutate the pristine human and turn us into soulless slaves. And my sense is that there's something particular about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed race, genes, whatever, that makes them particularly prone to revert back to their pristine capacities quicker. Yeah. So they are the ones that have to be annihilated.
They're an obstacle. They're
a threat.
Yeah.
They're a threat to the takeover. And I want to read you two more quotes. Okay?
Yes, please.
because I want people to understand the spiritual warfare going on here. These people are not Jews. There's something else going on. This one's coming from a man named Harold Wallace Rosenthal, who was a rabbi. He was also the administrative assistant to a senator, Jacob Javits, of New York. In a 1976 interview, he said, "Most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, and we are his chosen people. Lucifer is very much alive." He said many other things in that interview, and he was murdered soon after that interview.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the only one, because this same Rabbi Abe Finkelstein is talking about bloodletting, putting blood in, you know, the matzah, and selling the meat to the human meat to McDonald's so that the goyim are eating their kids. He says, "Well, you know, our father, Lucifer, the number one thing is all the organizations out there on the earth that we would want to infiltrate and take over our new goyim, obviously, would be the churches. So we attack them first, and we attack them most. And we infiltrated the Catholic Church right from the beginning." And then he says, "Why do you think the popes and all the cardinals and the bishops wear yarmulkes?"
Yeah.
So what I'm pointing out here is that we have different groups of people that are referring to themselves as Jews. We have people that are practicing a system of religion, all right, that are kind, good people, even though they're raised to believe in a sociopathic God, just like Christians are. It's the same God. All right, and then there's these other people that know that they are Luciferians. And have Lucifer. Who's Lucifer? Lucifer is a fallen angel. He was a beautiful angel. I think he was blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Okay, I think he was really good-looking pretty, from what I've read. And he betrayed God because he decided that he wanted to prove himself an equal. And he didn't want to be an underling to the Creator anymore. All right, so he was cast out. He did a lot of terrible things to prove that he's the Creator's equal. But these are people that are following this entity and doing his bidding, right, to prove that he's as powerful as the original Creator. So this is a spiritual war. And religion is a masquerade, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fundamental part of mind control, number one, getting us to worship this demon, Christians and Jews alike.
And Muslims.
And Muslims, exactly. All right, and to believe that he's the Creator. And it's all a huge, gigantic lie. The Creator does not create a beautiful human body, male body, with a beautiful, intact penis, and tell his followers to cut it up before the baby's 8 days old. Okay, that's the opposite of God.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of God that tells these people who are practicing Jews that they should go and take everybody else's land and keep it for themselves. And if they don't kill the women and children, they should keep them too. And all the animals, and maybe offer up some of the animals and some of the firstborn children to them. That is not the Creator. That is a freaking demon.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And I can't stress this enough. And the people behind the agenda that we're talking about are the people following that demon. So they're not like what we would normally think about in terms of people that are practicing the Jewish faith.
There's a number of kind of issues here that connects with this, and I've mentioned it in previous programs, but just in case people didn't catch that, there is a tribal mentality and a psychology, I guess we could call it, going on here as well within you know, the Jewish people. And Professor Kevin McDonald had talked quite extensively about this. I urge people to listen to some of his material and check out the program we did with him as well. As kind of you know, group is reinforced, as we know, classic psychology, with a belief that there are There is a threat outside of them that wants to, you know, kill them and exterminate them. And what I've seen here is that there is a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy here within this group of persecution, if you will, as well. And I say that specifically because I watched Defamation, a documentary from 2009. Within, you could actually see this young Israelis that were going to one of the concentration camps in Poland, I believe it was. But before they were going there, they were basically they were mind controlled. They were completely, reinforced with the belief that everyone out there, everyone you're going to meet, specifically the Europeans you're going to meet in Poland or wherever you happen to be, are going to be basically Nazis that are going to be frothing at the mouth, wanting to kill as many of you as you can. I'm not far off here. I'm not really exaggerating. If you look at this documentary, and it's available online, you can see how these young people, these young Jewish people, and I felt really sad for them, you know, because they're being programmed to believe that there's something that is so threatening out there that I think this creates a psychology where they are willing to do everything that they can to survive, right? Because this is something that they've been programmed with. And at the same time, then we can kind of see this expressed in what's happening in, you know, Gaza and everywhere else in terms of preservation. And of course, this then in return is actually leading to genuine, obvious hatred that is being expressed against them. There's kind of a feedback loop. I mean, even if we take this into account, I think anyone who's honest and objectively can see that the Jewish people are overrepresented within, you know, banking and media and many of the controlling aspects within Western societies. So what I'm getting at here is that there is kind of a feedback loop here of hatred and resentment that is just kind of strengthening itself every day. And my question is, how is this going to play out? What is this going to result in here? Because it seems like something that is kind of spiraling out of control, for the lack of a better term.
You know, the programming is very, very powerful, especially for the young Jewish children, and especially for the Israeli children. Anastasia, in the Anastasia books, in the Ringing Cedars book, she does talk about the program and, you know, the 40 years that Moses led the Jewish people around in the wilderness so that they could be programmed to believe in this artificial system and to become basically the foot soldiers for Lucifer. So the programming goes back several generations, and it's escalated to such a degree that we're seeing some of these young Israeli men and women, you know, in the military that are blowing off children's body parts and sitting on top of hills with beer and popcorn celebrating the fact that these children are being blown up.
Yeah.
Children, young Israeli children posting signs, you know, on these Israeli military trucks saying, go kill the Arab kids for us. You know, God be with you. Kill as many as you can. So the programming is deep, it's extensive, and it's, the religion itself that says that they're the chosen people. This is the essence of the master race. This is why, yeah, I think they reversed it and said Hitler was after the master race. Nonsense. This is a belief system that's coming straight out of the biblical texts. Wow. You know, who's the chosen race? Who's the master race? What are the parallels here? Okay, between what we call
and that's a classic kind of reverse and switch, or whatever you would term that, in terms of blame the enemy for what it is that you really are trying to do. And so then when you actually point the real fingers, no, wait a minute, when you're looking at facts and numbers and realizing what is going on through history, you say the truth and people look at you like you're a dumb wit. You're just like, what? You're kidding? It's the opposite way, you know, and you end up fighting with them, not about reality and facts, but about the illusions that have been created, you know?
Everything out of, how do you say it, Netanyahu, whatever, Satanyahu, whoever that freaking psychopath is, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything out of his mouth is a reversal. Pay attention to this man, you know, says that Israel needs to defend itself. What? From what? From what?
Bottle rockets?
Huh? Bottle rockets. Everything out of his mouth is a reversal. This is the Satanists are experts.
And they've been changing their narratives, by the way, all the time as well. In terms of, first it was, because of the three young Jewish people that were kidnapped and murdered, I believe, and then they blamed Hamas, and then it turned out it wasn't them, it was a separate group, but then it became about the rockets, then it became about the tunnels, and this has been continuing to change, but I think, again, it does, that's all theatrics, it doesn't matter. That the plan here is, it seems like to me, to just, is to kill as many people as possible and make conditions so miserable that the Palestinians are just going to, you know, leave Gaza altogether, and it's going to just be handed over to the Israelis, you know?
That is the agenda. I mean, the people are terrorized, and for generations, that terror is going to get passed on through the male sperm, because there's a memory in the sperm of the trauma that these people have experienced. So the Palestinians are going to be, it's going to be very, very hard for them for the next several generations. And it's precisely because of Israel. But the United States is backing them. And we got to understand that there's something in back of this. There's a spiritual war. All right. I don't know exactly what the agenda is right now, because to me, what Israel is doing is creating rage against the Jewish people. And then the Jewish people are going to be blamed for what many of them don't want to happen. I am sure many of them are not wanting this to happen. But yet,
well,
there's a rage.
There have to be more. There have to be more and I'm not saying that there aren't, but there are. You know, there are certainly more people that could be more outspoken, I think, about this as well, to a certain extent. I mean, I think that, you know, to be honest, to be self-examining here, if the Swedish population were running around the world in different places and you know, meddling in other people's politics, and they were like getting in on the banks industries, the media industries, and everything else. They had a war with someone and continuing to do it. I mean, I would hope that there were more people would speak out about this. I would certainly do everything I can to speak out against that. But I'm getting back to that point as well, that if there wasn't genuine hatred expressed at the outset of when this started to spiral out of control, as I said before, then there sure is now. And there seems to be a lot of people that actually are supportive of it, maybe because of that persecution psychology that we mentioned before. But nonetheless, it's like, it's incredibly divisive. And I mean, if we look at America as a war machine, I mean, this is obviously APAC, you know, Zionist control. And where is the speak out about, you know, against this and set yourself in opposition to it, right? That has to be the sane thing to do here.
Yeah, I mean, there are many Jews speaking out against it as well. But remember, in Israel, the children are raised on the Bible, and they view the Bible as a historical text. And in the Bible, their God tells them that they should have this land. And they believe it. They believe it's okay, you know, to take other people's land and steal it for themselves, because their God tells them to do it and that they should have it because they're his chosen people. This is the extent that mind control can go, where it turns people into assassins. You know, otherwise people would have morals. They would have, you know, they would have some ethics to say, we can't take these people's homes. We can't take their land. That's not right.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go back to our own motherland, wherever it is that these people came from. They were not born there, right? They immigrated from Europe.
Doesn't this speak of how much issues and problems are created without homeland? I mean we're seeing this kind of displacement and dispossession all over the world now with these multicultural experiments. And people have to keep that in mind, that this is exacerbating the problems. We've had a set of, you know, lifestyles that have arisen out of a bond with the natural world, with the natural order, for thousands of generations.
Yes.
That we now are just, in our naivety, stupidity, and propaganda and everything else, as we've been talking about here, are uprooting this in so many various departments. And we're not, and people are not expected that there are to come major issues of this. I mean, just the psychology alone, but even now we're talking about the very mechanics, the physicalities of it, how much problems this is creating, and cultural conflicts and utter chaos. And of course, as we know, Janice, this is the very goal. This is the goal of the multicultural madness that we're seeing right now, is to uproot people create ruthless human beings, cause strife and problems and issues based on culture and religion and everything and race and everything else imaginable. And unfortunately, people are allowing it to happen and not realizing the bigger scheme and the bigger agenda and who's behind it.
Yes, and understanding that this has been going on for several thousand years. So, for example, even if you look at the United States, what was involved in the creation of this country was a genocide of the Native American people and an infiltration of people that come from other places who have their own motherland, but chose to leave their motherland to come to this land called the United States now. And they took many, many lives, and they stole other people's land to do this. The dark forces have marched around the globe from place to place doing this, and it is their agenda to make sure that the indigenous populations who had a deep-rooted connection to the earth are displaced and genocided. And again, it's spiritual because it is through our place on the earth, okay, that we can communicate with the divine mind. In other words, hundreds of years ago, generations ago, children were conceived and gestated and birthed in their space of love, okay, in a place that their parents had created for them on the earth. And it was in that place on the earth where they had a connection to the divine mind, where everything in that space was there to love them and to nurture them and to take care of them. Everything that grew there was in communion with them. Right? Every piece of food that came off of that land, including what we call weeds, has information and nutrition. That's divine nutrition and divine information. Okay, so it is part of the dark forces agenda to destroy our ability to connect with that kind of a place.
Yeah.
To make sure that we are displaced, so that we do not have a way to communicate with the divine mind. And in fact, we don't even have a place to go to feel safe anymore. There is no place for us, for any of us.
Yeah.
We've all been displaced. So we need to take back our motherlands, people. We need to take the earth back. We need to banish these entities seriously to the furthest reaches of the furthest universe and make a determination that they are never, ever allowed to return, and to keep them quarantined for eternity. Let them be with each other. And that's it, where they can't influence any other being ever again. We need to make that decision to do that, because that's the most effective thing that we can do at this point, en masse, and take back our planet.
Yeah, and take back our place overall and connectivity, as you say, with nature, with our traditions. What heritage are we part of? What way of life was there? I think there's an urgent need to reconnect with these pre-Abrahamic traditions, to kind of try to restore some kind of balance to this very unbalanced equation and realize what's been going on. And I mean, of course, we've seen, you know, battles for a long time within humanity, migrations, there has been wars over territory and areas and resources for a long time. Yes, there has been climactic changes and differences which have led people to take part in a behavior perhaps back in history that we might not approve of today because we don't know how it was to live under those conditions. And keep in mind as well that a lot of the people that fled for America, for example, the Europeans, and I admire to a certain extent as well what they achieved in terms of they arrived, there was, you know, nothing on this land, they built up the infrastructure there and everything else, but also keep in mind what was the reasons and conditions for this. I mean, a lot of the Swedes that I know, they fled from the tyranny of the church and the state apparatus that was in place there. We were the first who were displaced, if you will. We were targeted for our religions way, way, way back, when Christianity arrived and everything else. So this is something that's been rolling on and continuing, and there's been a continued effort to try to balance this very unbalanced equation. And it's a very sad state of affairs, but it's part of human nature, you know?
Wherever Christianity goes, you will see a destruction of that culture and of that country or that place, that land. You will see peoples destroyed. You will see land destroyed. And this is a historical fact. Wherever the Christians go, whole cultures are genocided and annihilated. So Christianity has been a very effective force for the dark forces. Apparently Judaism is as well. The whole Judeo-Christian tradition is a tradition that exists for the benefit of the dark forces. So we have to turn our backs on it. We have to reveal it for what it is, number one, and turn our backs on it and seek to connect with the real creator and to begin. Read the Anastasia books. Go to ringingcedars.com. Please, everybody.
Now, I haven't, sorry to interrupt you there, but I haven't read those books yet, Janice.
They are
but
must read.
I wanted to ask you a little bit, is there any, within the books, is there anything, is there talk about, let's say, Slavic mythology and creation, you know, myths and things like that from that perspective, since she was Russian, the girl?
Vedic.
Vedic, okay.
She talks about the Vedras civilization. The civilizations of the pristine humans and the culture of feelings that existed during that time. And it is these people, okay, who have been asleep. They've been dormant. And it's us, Heinrich, okay, who are now remembering our ancient heritage. But it's these people that are the biggest threat to the dark forces. And it is these people that they have an agenda to destroy. So, read the books. These are the most important books that have ever been on the planet,
yep,
to my knowledge.
All right.
And for people to remember who we are, what we're here for, what's possible, what the future holds, you know, how do we get back on that path? They're very, very important books.
Very good. Now, let me ask you another thing here, and I wanted to give Christianity some credit where credit is due in terms of the situation that we now find ourselves in. I want to get your take on this as well. But as we said, although Christianity has served, it come in with a tremendous hard force. It was very violent. It was the eradication of, you know, pre-natural based, you know, pagan or heathen traditions and everything else. But if we look at it in fairly modern times, we can see that, and I find this interesting, that Christianity has represented, despite everything, a kind of a moral enforced code of conduct that for a while managed to, let's say, keep, you know, porn at bay or the kind of anti-family propaganda that we're seeing right now. Or it was very, you know, kind of a, sure, it might have been rigid to a certain extent, but what we've seen since the fall of Christianity in many European and the American cultures as well, we can see that the floodgates of all kinds of promiscuity and manipulation about the young and everything else have kind of fallen in its place to a certain extent. And that's very, very sad to see, Janice. And so what do you think about this issue of, you know, from porn to feminism to the anti-family propaganda and everything else that we're seeing right now? How are some of the ways? Yeah, please go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, and I didn't get your question because I interrupted. I'm really sorry, Heinrich.
Oh, it's okay.
Christianity is on the leading edge of trying to preserve morals. So from that respect, we have to really have gratitude for many aspects of Christianity. And what I'm reminded of is that Jesus was infuriated by the money changers. Okay.
Yeah.
Who are the Jewish people, right? He was infuriated by them trying to take extra money from poor people through their loans, through usury. Okay. He's the one that overturned the money changers in the temple and expressed his rage at the lack of morals, you know, that were being experienced 2000 plus years ago. The other thing that comes to my mind is that the Jewish people have been kicked out of 109 countries in the last 5,000 years.
Yeah, I think since the 1100s, I believe the statistical report was from, it was over 1,100 different locations in Europe alone.
The reason for this I guess it's complicated, but really there's the issue about money, okay, and the disruption of entire financial systems of whole civilizations, okay, and all of the wealth going into the hands of the few. There's the infiltration into administrative offices to put an agenda, you know, to preserve a very dysfunctional and demonic agenda. And then there's the destruction of human sexuality, the absolute disgusting, debased expression of human sexuality that is promoted through this agenda. So yes, there is, you know, a reason that there's been a sense of they're going to get kicked out of wherever they go. In fact, you know, I just recently read an article that they're expecting to get kicked out of the United States as Americans begin to realize the level of manipulation that has occurred through this population.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is the anger misdirected?
Well, the anger is against an entire people that is supposed to be practicing a religion, but we've got a religion and we've got a bloodline, okay? There's a bloodline that has a dark, dark genetics that is connected to Lucifer, all right? And then there's the honest religion, right? People that are practicing a religion that have nothing to do with this. You know, they are the victims, and they are certainly the victims of mind control, and certainly the ones that are going to end up persecuted. I mean, if we think about the Holocaust and all the people that were killed, do we imagine?
So they say, yeah. So they say. Have you looked into that? The history of that?
Yes, I have, but it's kind of like, you know, if I look at what's going on with the Palestinians, okay, could we ever say that it's okay that all these children are killed, even if we disagree with how the Muslims behave?
No, I mean, look at, this has been, again, as I said before, a standard throughout human history of massive amounts of people murdered and killed. And just look at the German population at the end of World War II and women and children that were killed. And I guess my discontent about this is that there seems to be only like, it's the event in history, and it's, you know, the only thing that is, you know, held to this highest regards when there's been, like, I mean, look at the situation in Russia, for Christ's sake. I mean, the millions, was it 60 million estimated people, you know, murdered under this ideology, Marxism, you know, and it's like the Armenian genocide. There are many genocides across that has happened in our history. And,
including America, including the Native American people, many, 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 many more millions than six. So the fact that there's such an emphasis on 6 million Jews, which is not a true number at all, okay, tells you who's controlling the information. That's all it is. And it's given them a reason for Israel, for the creation of Israel, because these, you know, poor, innocent Jewish people need a safe place. You know, they need a homeland. They
right.
need a safety. So there's a political agenda behind all of it.
Exactly. Of course there is, and that's my point as well. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not having any determined, you know, at this point. I have more questions than I have answers, and it's all our right to investigate and look into these things. But as we know, for example, in Europe, it's punishable. You might end up in prison if you even look into some of these stuff historically, which tells me something is awfully, awfully wrong. But nonetheless, it's this kind of blank checks mentality that this has led to, which is so important to investigate, because it turns out that if it's based on exaggerations or untruth or anything like that, then the balance of this behavior and the extortion of money that we've seen, you know, from Germany after the war and everything else. I mean, we've seen it's a repeat of what happened after the First World War. And that's another reason why I have my doubts and questions about what happened, because it's they've tried to pin the blame on Germany every single time, you know. And after the Second World War, they really succeeded, and America has been right there with Germany in terms of paying money and everything. Look at the defense monies that is going from America to Israel every year, for example. These are huge numbers of money. The American people needs this money, you know what I mean? They need to be taken care of taking care of their own primarily at this point, you know?
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen because America is ruled by the dark forces. and I think when a little country like Germany tries to stand up for itself, then that's why they're attacked so strongly. It is the dark forces that are our enemy, and they present themselves in various ways. You know, coming through the Jews is one of the many ways that they are presenting themselves, but they're also in the Vatican, you know. Although the Jews even claim creation of the Jesuits.
I know that after Vatican II, Janice, a lot of things changed. We had E. Michael Jones with us a while back, a Catholic scholar, and that was actually a very interesting interview. And he talked about how things specifically after, you know, whenever that council, Vatican II Council was in 65 or something like that, I forget now. But after that point, it seems to have been completely infiltrated by, you know, Freemasonic elements and Zionists connected to that. And it took a completely different direction because before it had a kind of an antagonistic relationship with the Jews, if you will, it seems like.
Well, yeah. And let me say that I'm going to keep repeating Satanists, Luciferians, okay? When we think about not just the money piece, but the sexual piece, a lot of how they operate is through blackmail. Pornography, especially child pornography, and getting pictures of some of these senators and other politicians all around the world, setting them up, right, and getting pictures of them, you know, being serviced by children, basically, forces these people to conform to the demands of the Illuminati, of the Satanists, of the Luciferians. You know, there's some books on my blog and on my website written by Kurt Barker that I really recommend people read so that we understand what's really behind this. Because Kurt was raised to become a Satanist, right? He was being programmed through MKUltra and through Monarch Mind Control as a child. He broke free from the Satanists as a teenager. I think he's in his 50s now, writing about what's happened. But the books are very inexpensive. And if you go to my blog on the right-hand side, you'll see a little blurb about the depravity of the Illuminati and Kurt's books. And also on my website at birthofanewearth.com. So read Kurt's books to get a deeper insight into really who's behind this, what's behind this. Because they are presenting themselves as Jews, and I'm not saying that there aren't Jews behind it, okay? But there's certainly Christians as well, especially when I look into the ultrasound, you know. These people are the same people who created the nuclear bomb. And many of them were presenting themselves as Christians. And many Satanists present themselves as Christians and as Jews.
Yeah, the funny thing I think about this whole debacle is that the satanic ideology is actually still very much within the confines of the Abrahamic religious mindset. I mean, it's a perspective that functions as a dialectical opposition to the other, meaning that it's still part of the pantheon coming out of the biblical scriptures, if you will. I mean, I think it's funny to a certain extent of how how much of similarities there are within it to a certain extent. I'm not talking about behaviors or anything, but in terms of the expressions of these various gods, if you will, or demons that are coming through here. And I think that it would be very wise for people, again, as I said before, to look beyond that, because a lot of people I've noticed as well have fallen into Satanism as a reaction to Christianity. But then it turns out it's just part of the same, you know, controlled, it's a controlled opposition, basically. That's what it is, you know?
Well, when you look at, it's very, very vivid to me, because when you look at a religion like Christianity, where people are going to church every Sunday and symbolically drinking the blood and eating the body parts of a sacrificed man and hanging symbols of human sacrifice around their neck, over their beds, in their cars, this is satanic. This is a satanic-based religion. And Judaism is the same thing. Judaism is replete with human sacrifice. For a rabbi to come on the air and talk about killing goyim children, non-Jew children, okay, and draining their blood and putting it in the matzah.
Yeah, that's despicable. I mean, look,
and it's everywhere. Just Google Jewish human sacrifice. Okay, Google it. You would not believe what you will find. These are satanic religions.
What about the circumcision bit here as well? I mean, we have moils and things like that. They've been giving hepatitis to small children and everything else when they perform the circumcision. There's a, I don't know if this is some versions of the practice or whatnot, but it's another very disgusting set of behaviors where the moil actually sucks the blood from the penis of the child when it's been cut. Have you seen this?
Yes, correct. In New York, where I live, where I've been born and raised, it's very common here, apparently, and several children have died here in the last 10 years. Other children have gotten brain damage from herpes, it is, that the rabbi is giving to the children by putting his mouth around the children's penis after he mutilates the penis. He sucks the blood. I've got a video on my blog where the rabbi explains why he has to suck the blood of the mutilated penis. It's the most disgusting and disturbing and nonsensical explanation for why this satanic practice has to happen. But if we understand that it is satanic, okay, if we understand that the mutilation of an infant's genitals is satanic and is a form of mind control, okay, it is the way to get the wires crossed between sex and violence. It is a way to lay the foundation for psychopathy.
Mm. So this is a traumatic event for the young child, the boy, that you say later, really, that later shapes the behavior. Is that correct?
It shapes it from that moment because it creates dissociation. Meaning the spirit leaves the body during circumcision. You'll see, if you ever watch, you can watch videos of circumcisions online. For people that don't believe me, go to YouTube and watch a video. Watch what the baby does. Listen to the sounds of the baby screaming, the likes of which you'll never hear anywhere else. And then watch as the baby dissociates. Watch the eyes glaze over. You'll see the spirit completely leave. There's
The pain has to be so unbearable. I mean,
exactly.
can you imagine the sensitivity of the nerves of a young child like that and to have that excruciating pain? I mean, it's no wonder they leave the body, you know?
This is trauma-based mind control, getting a child to leave his body so that another program can be put in. Even another entity can be brought in. But the personality that existed before can no longer exist after that kind of a trauma. Another kind of personality, one that can withstand the abuse, one that is much colder, much harder, much more of a tendency to be psychopathic, has to step forward.
And Americans have to stop doing this as well. Those who are not Jews, they should not go through this. I mean, nature doesn't make mistakes, folks. There's nothing here that is, you know. I've seen this too, by the way. In movies and stuff like that, how they're continuously trying to push that women like circumcision better, it looks better, and all this, like, complete propaganda, you know, in terms of how they're trying to control this to continue so that the Americans will continue to perform this mutilations of their own young boys, you know? Horrible.
Again, I'm brought to, you know, the realization of what an attack this is on the Creator himself. Because I could spend the next 20 minutes talking about the function of the foreskin, but I want to be quick about it and say, when that foreskin meets with the vaginal wall, it triggers the male brain to release hormones, the neurochemicals of love, human love, and bonding. And when that foreskin has been removed, that boy's ability to experience human love and human bonding is going to be severely undermined, which means any person that he tries to have a relationship with is also going to be affected by his inability to love and to feel love. Mm. So they know what they do. They know how to attack God's design, which is totally in favor of love and all about the fulfillment of human love. and to break it down with every opportunity. And the removal of the foreskin is intimately connected to that.
Yeah, that's very sad that this is the case, of course. Now, I wanted to ask you as well, Jenny, something a little bit different here, perhaps. Well, it's still within the confines of what we're talking about, but how do we encourage people, and I'd say women in particular, to have babies, to have more babies? Specifically in the West, we're seeing a decline in birth rates. So yes, we know infertility is a big part of it, but as you detailed before, and I'm on that page with you, I think that, you know, the feminist ideology, which certain aspects of it have, of course, served a purpose, as we can see in terms of kind of a emancipation, but the overdrive of it and the complete political ideology that it's now turned into, being very, you know, connecting a lot with Marxism, for example, this have had tremendous detrimental effect on families and you know, the specifically families in the West. How do you think that we can encourage more women to get in touch with this and the natural cycles, getting off the materialistic, narcissistic, you know, selfish path that many are on, and believe that, you know, a career is everything, or that that's where the key to happiness lies, or whatever. What happened to the love for children and families, you know?
What happened to the importance of human love? I mean, at everybody's core is a desire to experience the fulfillment of human love. It is the only thing that will really make us happy. And the fulfillment of human love comes not just through the partnership, you know, a really authentic, loving partnership with somebody who shares similar life values and goals, but bringing that love into eternity through the creation of children. The way to create authentic love is to break down the mind control programming, to encourage people not to trade off carnal gratification for authentic love, number one. We've got to get to the young people to deprogram them from the sexual education, the conditioning that's gone on, and to encourage the development of spaces of love. We've got to get back to the land, because it's on our, in our spaces of love, which is our family domain, our kin's domain, where love can be brought forth and preserved through that space and through a direct communication with the divine mind. So once the forces of love have had their victory on this planet, and I've no doubt that's going to happen, and that the Ringing Cedars books are instrumental to creating that victory. Right? Once that victory happens and we are returned to the earth, to the land, people into their most advanced years will want to create children. Right now,
yeah.
Right now is not the best time. And in a sense, the dark forces are serving love by preventing us from having children right now and contributing more fodder to their machine.
Well, exactly. It's like that scene in the movie Idiocracy, where these, you know, people who have they have a higher IQ, they're more concerned about the world, they're more, they hold off on having children. I can link that up. That video clip is pretty funny, actually, and it's showing how the other side of this coin is that the people who just don't care at all about it are just, you know, reproducing like nothing was, there's no problem to it. I mean, there never be, will be a good time for anything. It's just something you have to throw yourself into and just do it. It's just not gonna, the world is not going to, you know, just magically aligned around you for these purposes, I believe. Well, maybe it will, but nonetheless, what I'm saying is that it's your work, your intention, your will that makes it that way.
Yes,
you know,
it is. Yeah. Yes, I know. For me, when I was 18, I made the determination that the buck stops with me. I'm not going to pass on a lineage of abuse and trauma until I understand the keys to preserving love in families. I will not reproduce. I understand the keys now. I know what they are. I've put them in a curriculum to share with other people. They're also outlined in the Ringing Cedars books. There are keys to preserving love. There are keys to bringing life onto this planet, and to be able to bring life in its pristine form, in the likeness of the Creator, and with all of a pristine human's capacity intact, which is a key to the elimination of the dark forces, because they cannot withstand a pristine human, and they certainly can't withstand a bunch of us.
No, exactly. And speaking to that as well, Janice, the pristine human,
yeah.
I mean, we have to be in a position where we're both able to love, but also be loved, right? I mean, I feel that a lot of this is that there's a whole lot of empty people out there that have been programmed in this, in the empty materialistic globalist blob nothingness that we have out there right now. We become disconnected. We are not really ourselves, to be honest. We haven't done our work on ourselves. We haven't fulfilled that role what we can become. And I feel that that's also a huge picture into why people can't find the right one, because no one, they're not themselves anymore. They're not for themselves the right one, if you see what I'm getting at. And so I'm saying that I think there's a part of the self work that needs to be done for something like this to kind of unfold and happen. And certainly it does in other cases too. I'm not saying that you'll never be complete and ready. This is it's a work throughout life, you know, a betterment of yourself in so many different aspects. But I feel that there's this, we've bought the lie of this kind of the global, empty, materialistic, non-spiritual world. And this is creating a lot of broken people. And those broken people are very difficult to love, unfortunately.
Let me say also, Heinrich, that many, many billions of us have been conceived as a side effect of our parents' fleshy indulgence. There was no parental interest in creating life. Okay. Our conceptions are very often loveless, which means our original code, our original program is not of authentic human love. We're then gestated in wombs where, you know, our parents don't really love each other, where our mother doesn't want us, where moms are considering abortion or attempting abortion. The program has been a program of anti-love that our parents participated in and their parents before them. All right, so we have to break the program. We have to begin to understand the importance of preconception preparation, creating a space of love, manifesting a partnership that is completely authentically based in human love. Okay? Creating the space of love, conceiving, gestating, birthing in the space of love. There is a path to doing this, to returning our species to love. It will not happen if we're conceiving children haphazardly as a side effect of using each other to get off. I can assure you, we're making a huge mistake doing it that way. It is our biggest mistake. Am I making sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Definitely, Janice. You're definitely making sense. And that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, turning people towards the authentic, the real stuff, the truth of the matter, getting closer to nature, everything that's natural, the natural order, everything is there, folks. It's perfect. We just have to find it and make it part of us, you know.
Conscious conception is a very, very big piece, and not looking at each other as instruments of carnal gratification, but as co-creators, bringing in a life that is the likeness of the real creator. Okay, in the creator's own image, in the creator's, part of the creator's divine plan, a child that will help to fulfill the divine dream, the fulfillment of human love on this planet. That's what we should be aspiring to. It's understanding how to do that. And it will heal everything. It could heal everything in one generation.
And also I'd say the likeness of ourselves, right? As a measure to actually learn and understand who we are ourselves, when we can see maybe ourselves in our child, we can see, maybe understand a bit more about yourself when you were in that age, you know, when things were so confusing for you when you were young. I mean, it's a cycle of learning that is actually incorporated and part of that as well, which is beautiful, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Parenting is the most important thing any of us will ever do. So taking it seriously, you know, I can't imagine anything more important. It's funny that there's no education about that.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that hilarious? You know. All right, Janice, we're going to begin to wrap things up here for this time. I would obviously thank you so much for being here today. Some very heavy topics, but necessary topics to discuss and get out there and just kind of talk about this stuff, because it is a lot of issues that are happening to us. It's ongoing. We have to be smart to the agenda. We have to see how we've been moved away from the natural, as we've been talking about here. And obviously, I want to thank you again for being with us, for doing the work you're doing, Janice. And please give us the details again. And of course, I want to urge people to keep an eye out for the book and the other material that is underway as well. So keep an eye out for that. But give us the details again, Janice, before we end.
Yeah, please visit my website at birthofanewearth.com and my blog at birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. I encourage everybody to check out Kurth Barker's books about the depravity of the Satanic Illuminati. You'll get a lot of insights there about what's really going on. I also have a YouTube channel, Birth of a New Earth. So that's where my stuff is, and be on the lookout for my book. Certainly at the beginning of the year, I'm hoping it will be released, the first in a series of books.
All right, links from our website. Thank you again, Denise.
Thank you, Heinrich, so much.
All right, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for informing yourself and for caring and making decisions and choices that reflect the knowledge that we learn here. It is indeed time to organize, put our interests first, and rediscover the self-preservation instinct and the natural responses of all healthy men and women. Trust nature, folks, and human nature especially. Observe and learn. My thanks to the team for all the hard work, and my thanks to you for being a member. We have much more coming, folks, with Mark Passio, Sen Gardner, Gordon Kennedy, Jessica Andreasson, and many others. Please take care of yourself and, of course, your loved ones. And also, let me remind you of the 9 noble virtues from the Åsatru Folk Assembly. Strength is better than weakness. Courage is better than cowardice. Joy is better than guilt. Honor is better than dishonor. Freedom is better than slavery. Kinship is better than alienation. Realism is better than dogmatism. Vigor is better than lifelessness. And ancestry is better than universalism. Stay well, and we'll speak more soon.